Queen's PhD Community Initiative. So tell me a bit about how your team came together and how you were started working with ABLE too.
Yeah, so the PhD Community Initiative program starts in early September. And at that point, PhD students come together and see several different presentations of potential projects that they could sign on to. And then we rate them kind of according to what fits with our interests. And so ABLE 2 was one of those projects, and my team was selected based on our rankings of those projects. So our team initially started out with 5 individuals, but 2 of them had to drop out because of personal reasons. So the team that was the core group for the majority of the year was 3 of us. There was myself and then Brian Collins, who is a third year environmental studies student or just finished his third year. And then Lynn Drapeau, who was finishing up her final year of management. And then we had a mentor, Anne O'Riordan, who's in was in rehabilitation studies when she was at Queen's as a faculty member. And so we would meet once a week every Wednesday to discuss what we were going to be working on that week for the project. And we would have meetings with ABLE to help us kind of figure out our direction. At the initial presentation, Susan from ABLE 2 identified kind of their main goals for our partnership, and that was to review volunteer retention and recruitment and to see if we could potentially find recommendations to help them with that. They specifically for their matching program. So ABLE 2 has a matching program with that partners people with disabilities in Ottawa with local volunteers. So the people with disabilities are called friends, and then the volunteers are called allies. And they've always had a problem with having more people wanting a match that is a friend than they have local volunteers. So this got even worse with the pandemic, just because people in general were volunteering less. And so they were finding that their wait list for a potential match was getting longer and longer, and they weren't having enough volunteers to meet that demand. So that's what we focused on for the year. And so we would meet with them, kind of discuss which directions we wanted to go. And then at the same time, about once a month for the PhD Community Initiative project, we would meet, all of the teams would meet, and we would discuss how we were doing. We'd give short presentations just to give each other updates. And then there would be a couple training sessions every once in a while for different areas. And then we ended up having the final capstone for the entire initiative at the end of April. So then we gave presentations to each other and then to our community partners. And that was online this year.
Okay. So tell me about what attracted you personally to ABLE 2 to work with them.
Yeah. So I have worked with different organizations that support people with disabilities in various settings. So in camp settings, I was a direct support professional for about a year and a half. So it just really was something that I was already interested in. I had never heard of ABLE 2 before, but I just, as soon as I saw the project, I knew that it was the one that I wanted to do the most. So that it was definitely my number one on my list.
So ABLE 2 basically does a lot of outreach in the Ottawa community, helping those with disabilities, with integrating into the community through programs such as this. So what were some of the... let's say some of the tasks that someone as a volunteer with ABLE 2 would do to help support somebody?
So there are several different programs with ABLE 2. I'm not very familiar with all of them, but for the matching program, what a volunteer would do is after getting in touch with ABLE 2, you would, a social worker would meet with you and kind of discuss what you would kind of like out of your potential match as well, in terms of like how many hours a week you can do, like where you live as well, because that can be a factor in terms of making the matches. And then basically you just meet 1 to 2 hours a week with your match, and you can just go out for coffee or some go to different sports games. Some individuals specifically were looking for an ally or a volunteer to go with them to the gym. So it can really depend on what the friend is looking for, but basically it's just like a once a week kind of check-in or socializing time just to kind of get to know your friend.
Is there an age range for who this is for?
So it's mostly over 18. There's okay. A few individuals who are under 18, I believe, but yeah, it's adults and also for volunteers. That's who they're looking for right now. So yeah.
I can imagine, and as you actually did touch on, it can be challenging to recruit and then to retain volunteers, keep volunteers on. Did your team come up with some solutions for this?
Yeah, so our main focus we ended up doing a survey about their onboarding practices specifically at Able2. And the main thing that we were hearing from volunteers is that while they really enjoyed the initial onboarding and the training sessions, once that was done, they kind of felt a little bit isolated. They'd be one-on-one with their individual or their match, but then they wouldn't necessarily be also meeting with other volunteers to kind of discuss how they were finding the program or how they were finding their match. And the largest suggestion was for ongoing training opportunities as well as networking opportunities among volunteers to just kind of keep building the community in that way as well. So that was the main focus of, we ended up writing a report just kind of to summarize our findings from the survey and some like literature reviews and stuff we were finding as well. Just the importance of networking among volunteers to keep them engaged in the organization.
Now, this organization serves Ottawa, but you were, of course, working on this remotely, I understand. Was that a challenge?
Not in terms of completing the project, but I would say we were hoping to meet with our partners in person, and we were really excited about that at the beginning. So while Zoom worked, you know, it's always a little bit different when you meet people and when you only have met them on Zoom too. And you know, it's just like, it always feels like you want to get to know people more than you can in just a Zoom meeting. So that was a little bit disappointing, I would say, but we made the most of it, and Able2 was really responsive and encouraging, and they like I said, they met with us over Zoom and they were so supportive. And so in the end, it wasn't actually a problem. It's just we would have liked the opportunity to meet in person, but that wasn't just in terms of they were in Ottawa. That was also just in terms of the waves of COVID that were going on at the time. So but it ended up working out really well. And being able to do it over Zoom was very helpful.
So this project, this community initiative is now complete.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. I also understand a big part of your research is about addressing barriers being faced by those, you know, with disabilities in faith and spiritual settings. I'm very curious to know more about what you found in that regard.
So I'm just beginning that research. So I haven't technically found anything in that project per se, other than I have found in my past research that people with disabilities in general have a lower attendance rate at religious gatherings, on like excluding weddings and that sort of thing, like regular attendance to say church or synagogue. It's just the interest is there, but they're maybe not able to get there for whatever reason. And so my goal is to identify exactly why that is, because I've identified that through looking at StatCan data and such, but I would like to know specifically why and what religious communities can do to support people in making their communities more accessible so that people can come. But then also, like, yeah, just what sort of things are going on? Is it also like a public transportation issue? You know, like there's so many different things it could be. So what are the kind of like the main issues that people across Canada are facing? So I'm going to be doing a survey for that later this year. So most of the research so far is out of the States and focuses on Christian communities. So I know a lot about that and barriers that are being experienced with those communities. But like I said, it hasn't been done much in Canada yet. So I would like to look into that. And also Canada is a very diverse country. Yeah, I want my participant base to be as diverse as possible so that I can kind of get the best sense of what's going on.
So through your studies and your career, you've worked with people living with disabilities or worked with organizations to support them. What are some of your hopes going forward for your own career and for those living with disabilities?
Yeah, so what I would like to do is I would like to compile resources to help religious leaders as well as people with disabilities themselves so that they know also how to advocate for themselves, in that I think religion is an area that's not really talked about much in the disability rights movement. So I think there's an aspect too of just because it's not talked about, maybe like people feel uncomfortable bringing it up, say with their care providers or something. And so to help provide resources for that as well, but then also with religious leaders. In Canada, it's religious buildings and communities there, like they don't have to be accessible if they don't want to, in terms of physical accessibility as well as attitudinal accessibility. Even those that currently aren't, I think that they might want to, you know, if they're presented with it in the right way to kind of show them that, yeah, this is something that is congruent also probably with their own religious beliefs, right? So I want to kind of figure out how to encourage communities that maybe aren't overly accessible right now, but then also continue to support communities that are more looking into that, but maybe have a specific area of growth that they want to look at. Because I think accessibility is such a broad thing that it just happens that, you know, we focus on one thing first and then we kind of add on to that. And so maybe, you know, we focus first on building a ramp, but then we don't have devices for people who are hard of hearing, right? And so it's kind of a progressive thing. And just as people gain awareness about like what different things that they could be doing.
Great. Just in returning to ABLE too, what would you say you took away from working on this project? What would you say you've learned from working on this?
In kind of a nerdy way, I've learned a lot of specific tools that I can use in my own research in terms of like survey stuff, which will be very helpful. But also I've learned a lot about working with an organization in terms of like a consulting role, I guess. And I've realized that is something that I'm really interested in doing more broadly. So that's kind of a fun thing to think about. I am interested in continuing in academia as well, but this working with an organization also really sparked that interest. I think I already knew I had it, but it just really solidified, oh yes, this is something that I could also do in the future.
Great. And I understand also the team that you worked with on this particular project were students from various different programs. Do you feel that really helped to get all those different perspectives?
Yes, definitely. Especially in terms of this project, I am not a data person really. I just haven't had that training, so it was really helpful. Lynn Drapeau had much more experience with that, so that was really great. And yeah, different ways of approaching different topics, right? So Brian Collins, who's in environmental studies, he's very good. He really supported us in the literature review, for example. So it was just like we all kind of had our areas of strengths that we developed in our own disciplines, and we're able to come together and make a really great project. So yeah, the interdisciplinarity was a huge strength to the program.